been interviewing Mr. Herbert Finder, 1126 Linda Lane, Vineland, New Jersey, 08360, telephone 609-692-5932. This is February the 19th, 1987. Now, Mr. Finder, if you'll be good enough to start by telling me where you were born and when, and a little about your family background.
I was born in Vienna, Austria, April 22nd, 1929. My father originally came from Poland, emigrated to Vienna during World War I, and became an Austrian citizen. My mother was born in Berlin, Germany, and she moved to Vienna after marrying my father in 1928.
May we have the name of your father?
My father's name is Heinrich Finder, now Henry Finder. My mother's name was Gerda.
Gerda
mm-hmm. Born Schwarz.
Born Schwarz.
S-C-H-W-A-R-Z.
And they were married in?
They were married in Berlin in 1928.
And what was father's occupation?
My father was a salesman. He would travel in the countryside during the last few years before the occupation of Austria by Germany.
Do you have any memories of Vienna?
Only vaguely. I remember going to school in Vienna, public school. Which was not very far from our house. I remember going to a small synagogue with my father. And I remember the last couple of years before the Anschluss of my grandparents living with us, who were refugees from Berlin, and they lived with us in Vienna.
They left Germany
in 1937, and they came to live with us in Vienna.
They thought it would be safer, do you suppose?
Yeah.
More protective. Uh-huh. Both grandparents. Now, do you remember anything about your parents' relatives, close relatives, sisters or brothers or cousins?
From my father's side, he had relatives in Poland, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which we visited once in 1937.
What were your memories of that visit?
Well, it was a very small village in Poland where he came from, near Tarnów, mm-hmm. and I just remember vaguely visiting with him. And then he had other relatives who lived in Krakow, mm-hmm. and we visited there too, but I was a very young age at the time.
Did you think your situation was better, more comfortable in Vienna, or did you make any comparison?
No. Mm-hmm.
But those folks remained in Poland? As far as you know?
No, they survived. They live in Israel now.
But they stayed in Poland?
Yeah, they stayed in Poland.
I see. And on mother's side?
Do you have any sisters, brothers? My mother has a sister and a brother who both emigrated to America during the Hitler period. My uncle was interned in Mauthausen during Kristallnacht. But he was let out and then...
Do you know what were the circumstances? Because that's very unusual.
I think a lot of German Jews were let out after Kristallnacht. They had to promise to leave Germany within a very short period of time.
Yes, I thought that was true just of the German concentration camps, but obviously it was true of Mauthausen too.
I believe it was Mauthausen. I know that he was let out on the assumption that he would leave Germany within a short time.
Do you know if it was difficult for them to get out?
They had visas to come to America. And,
So they must have applied
fairly early.
And you had said at one point, I think, in our discussion, sometimes it was easier for someone who was poor to leave.
Yeah, but
they had
well-to-do relatives in California from his side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Although his mother remained behind and perished in Theresienstadt.
She stayed behind.
Yeah, because she had no papers. And later my grandmother also perished in Theresienstadt.
Again for the same reason?
Yeah. Everybody left and she stayed behind.
Do you know what their last names?
Well, my grandmother's name was Hedwig Schwarz. I don't know what my uncle's, what his mother's name was. Her name was Hersha. That was a family name. But her first name was
H-I-R-H-E-R-R-S-C-H-E-R. And they both perished
in Theresienstadt.
Sometimes this is helpful in setting up registers. And there's a big organization of survivors of Theresienstadt, of Czechoslovakia in London, and they might be interested.
Yeah, but this happened in the, I don't know what year it happened, really. I don't have the documents for that.
But you know this?
Yeah, we have documents. I have an aunt, my mother's sister, who still lives in California, and she knows about it. There were documents sent to her.
I see, about their fate.
About their fate.
Now, about the school experience, did you encounter any anti-Semitism in this Vienna public school that you
Well, the time it was most obvious was in Vienna, we had what you call Religionsunterricht, which means public religious education. And at that time, the Jewish children got their Religionsunterricht separate from the non-Jewish children.
This was after regular school? Or
no,
was
that was
part
during,
of
that was,
during,
yeah, yeah, during. That was doing.
Once or twice a week or more often, do you remember?
I don't recall. I believe twice a week.
And what did you study?
Well, the Jewish children learned Jewish subjects.
Including Hebrew?
And I don't believe Hebrew.
The Bible
and so on.
History.
And the non, and that started very early in grammar school.
And it was taught by a Jewish
teacher?
Yeah, but
yeah. They were all, in Vienna, everybody had to pay a tax, like a
membership
tax that belonged to the Jewish community. Mm-hmm. And basically then the government paid the salaries of teachers, Jewish teachers.
Mm-hmm. They came in just to teach these religious
courses, or subjects.
Or were they regular teachers who also taught these subjects? You had a different person.
It was a different personal thing. Mm-hmm. In the non-Jewish children, they of course taught Christian subjects, and there was instilled always the hatred against the Jews as being the killer of Christ. And that was and after that, this 1 hour was over, there was always kind of beating the Jews from the non-Jewish children. And I know I'm getting away from the subject, but my mother-in-law went to school in Stuttgart in Germany. And we discussed this one time, she being about 30 years older than I am, she experienced exactly that same thing in Stuttgart 30 years earlier. So this was very, because you didn't have the separation of church and state of being taught.
Yes. And you felt the anti-Semitism particularly after these classes.
Yeah. That's the only type of anti-Semitism that I can remember as a child.
But I suppose there were comparatively few Jewish students in your public school, or am I wrong? Did you have a goodly number of Jewish children?
Yeah. We did not live in a Jewish neighborhood. I mean, in Vienna is divided in what 21, they call it Bezirke, which is sections of the city or
neighborhood.
And most Jews as Polish Jews and the poor Jews lived in the second district, whereas we lived in the ninth district, which was, there were Jewish stores and everybody, but it was not as strictly, there was a large Jewish population before World War II in Vienna.
Yes.
I think it was 100,000+.
Yes, a large population. And you, so you had non-Jewish playmates, do you remember?
All my friends, of course, were Jewish.
Jewish.
But in school, of course, was mixed. There were more non-Jews in class than Jews.
And the synagogue that your father, your family attended?
My father attended a small...
Was it Orthodox?
Small Orthodox. My father was Orthodox, came from an Orthodox background. My mother not. My mother came from a German, I would say maybe Reformed. Mm-hmm. But when she married my father, she kept a strictly kosher household and so on. But she really was not from an Orthodox background. Mm-hmm. There was a larger synagogue not far from us, but my father preferred to go to a smaller synagogue.
And were most of their friends Jewish?
Yes.
They socialized mostly with Jewish friends. Mm-hmm. Would you say that they were fairly comfortable in Vienna, that they didn't seem to be troubled by anti-Semitism in the early years of their marriage and in your early childhood period? Did your father suffer economically in his work because of any anti-Jewish feeling, as far as you know?
I don't think so. I believe it was always the tendency, as far as what I heard him say, that he was rather a, although he was Orthodox, modern in appearance. Mm-hmm. And when he spoke German well, he wrote German well, and he was an Austrian citizen, mm-hmm. came to Vienna as a young man. Mm-hmm. My mother was from German background. And I think the anti-Semitism or the antagonism against Jews was felt more among the Jews who lived in the Jewish neighborhoods who... Eastern European Jews who were still clinging mostly to the Hasidic gods, the beards. This was the impression that the population had of Jews. Because my father would say many times that didn't even know that he was Jewish because he just...
seemed like everybody else. Yeah, yeah. The same thing, of course, happened in Germany, that the anger was very often directed against the Eastern European.
Because I remember after the Anschluss and the Germans came into Vienna, and they used to, just to antagonize the Jews, they would gather them up, all of a sudden a group of Jews on the street, and they made them scrub the pavement with water and lime, you step on it. And like people like my father, someone said, well, why don't you go away? You don't belong here.
They made a distinction.
In their mind, these were a different Jew.
A different species. When, as far as you can remember, did you sense anti-Semitism in the general population? When was there some penetration of the Nazi movement in Viennese life?
The only thing I remember a little bit, and I was very young at the time, was in 1933 when they had the assassination of Dollfuss. The chance, I remember that yet vaguely, but otherwise I really cannot recall, except the events that happened in school with the anti-Semitism. Otherwise, I really personally did not feel anything. The only thing I remember, of course, I was aware of what happened in Germany due to the fact that my grandparents came to live with us. But prior to that, while Hitler was already in power in Germany, we went to visit them to Germany.
Did you?
And
do you remember what they reported about their own life at the time? I guess you
No, that I don't remember.
But their lives were not yet changed,
no,
apparently.
No. And as a matter of fact, my uncle from Berlin, they lived in Berlin too, before they went, they came to visit us also in Vienna, maybe in 1936, 37. I mean, there was no problem for Jews to travel. I mean, maybe because they were German citizens. Now, see, there's always a distinction between Eastern European Jews and German Jews, or Austrian Jews. Now, to bring it one step further, my grandfather went back to Germany in 1937 because he wanted to liquidate what he had there. And while he was there, he suffered a heart attack and died. And my mother had no problem going to Germany for his funeral from Vienna. There was no, she went to the funeral and
no restrictions.
No restrictions whatsoever, and she came.
So you first felt the brunt of anti-Semitism then after the Anschluss, I presume. Or was it something before?
Well, the knowledge we had, of course, through my grandparents, why my grandparents were living with us. I mean, why they left Germany.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't anticipate a takeover?
I don't know what my parents anticipated.
Yes,
I don't know.
Do you remember the Anschluss
day? Yeah, the Anschluss I remember very distinctly, mm-hmm. because it happened on Friday night. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know anything Friday night, not even my parents knew anything Friday night. But we had school on Saturday. I mean, all public schools are open Saturday. And I remember going down in Saturday morning. I was 9 years old at the time. I wasn't even quite 9 years old. I was just a month shy of being. I went to the third grade at the time. And I went down, and the first thing, we lived across a girl's school, a girl high school. And there were the German flags hanging there already. In one night, there were all German flags hanging. And that was something strange because I never had seen that. And I came to school, which was only maybe 5 minutes walk from my house, and it was closed that day. And so when I came back, I told my father even asked me, I remember him asking me, why do you come home from school? And I said, well, the Germans are here and there is no school. And he was not even aware of it.
Was he surprised?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, we didn't have radios and television. You did not have all that instant news.
But there wasn't any uproar in the streets?
Not where we lived. I mean, we did not live on the main thoroughfare. We lived on a side street.
Presumably the other Jews in the neighborhood didn't know either.
To the best of my recollection, my father and mother were not aware that it had happened, or whether they were aware that things were going on, I cannot tell. I don't know.
Did they seem upset?
At that time, I cannot. All my recollections are that I came home and I told them that the German flags are hanging all over with the Hakenkreuz and the school was closed, and that's all I remember really of that particular day.
And then what is your next memory following the Anschluss?
Well, following the Anschluss not very long, much later rather, we were not able, the Jewish children had to go to a different school.
Then let me ask, were you able to resume your schooling the following week? And were you able to stay in the same class?
Yeah, we stayed in the same class for a short period of time. Mm-hmm. And then I had to go to school, which was much further away from my house, where only Jewish children went. And that was maybe in April of 19, because Anschluss was in March 38, and this was maybe in April 19.
Do you remember if you were upset by that, or was it just something that as a child
just accepted? The only thing, of course, always heard my father telling me, you know, as people, Jews would walk in the street, they would grab a certain amount of Jews and they would make them scrub the streets and clean the sidewalks.
You saw that?
I don't remember seeing, I just remember my father telling me about it, that he got caught up in these things and he would travel a lot in the countryside and he could not pursue it anymore.
He wasn't able to
continue his work because he wasn't able to travel.
He worked for a Jewish company or?
No, for a non-Jewish company.
So what sort of work then did he do?
He just traveled inside the city. He was not able to go out.
I see. And still able to make a living,
yeah.
As far as you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes. For a short time. And then my next recollection was there were a lot of refugees coming to Vienna from the countryside. They were expelled almost immediately, especially around Tyrol. And we had a lot of refugees streaming into Vienna very shortly after the Anschluss.
And what provision was made for them, do you know?
The Jewish community tried to provide for them and everybody. I remember we had some who would come to our house for dinner. Mm-hmm. We would take them in, they would eat and so on.
So they were somehow absorbed?
Yeah.
Do you have any recollection of Jews leaving or trying to leave the city? Or did you remember your parents?
Well, I remember we all discussed right away, they discussed where to go.
Did you?
Yeah. And one of the things discussed was Uganda. A lot of them were trying to flee to Uganda.
Your parents discussing that,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, they were discussing, looking up on the map, where was Uganda and so on. Mm. And within a very short time, I mean, my father made every effort to try to leave Vienna.
So he applied for papers?
Well, we left already in August 1940. 38 we left here.
Oh, you left.
Yeah.
And where did you go?
Well, he was wanted to leave, and I guess my mother wanted to leave. I remember them selling everything we had, and he had to stand in long lines to get all the necessary exit papers. I know one time he got kicked in his kidneys, and he had to be hospitalized for a short time.
Kicked by one of the guards?
Yeah. Because they had to stand in line for days, he had to stand in lines just to get all the documentation, permission to leave. Because you could get permission to leave even if you had nowhere else to go. That did not really matter that much to the Germans.
Well, Eichmann was already in charge
these are not some of the things that I recollect. What I recollect is that kind of he was standing in line, he wouldn't come home late, he had to stand like all day in line. Mm-hmm. Until he got all his papers together, and we left Vienna around the middle of August of 1938.
And did your grandparents leave with you?
My grandfather died.
Oh, your grandfather
died. And my grandmother, she, as soon as the Anschluss was, she did not want to stay in Vienna any longer, and she returned to Berlin. Oh. She said that she saw that within a very short time, things happened in Vienna that took many years to develop in Germany, in Berlin. So she decided that's what she wanted to do. She didn't want to stay with us. She insisted on going back to Berlin.
And did she have any place to go to?
Well, my mother's sister still lived in Berlin. Because they left for America in 1939. And my mother had a brother who left in 1939 for America. So she went back. She decided this is much worse than Germany. She just did not want to stay there anymore. So she left for Berlin.
Yes, apparently Eichmann speeded up all of these processes that, as your grandmother said, had taken years in Germany.
Yeah.
Did you hear from her after that, do you know?
While we were still in Vienna, we heard from her.
But later after you left Vienna?
Well, when we left Vienna in August 1938.
And where did you go?
Well, we went to Köln, Germany. Cologne, Germany.
Why did you?
Well, it was known at this time, I found out, that's how we went now, how my father got the hint of it I don't remember, that if you bought a ticket, a shipboard ticket to England, you could leave Germany into Holland. Even if you had no visa to go into England, as long as you had a ticket to go to England, you could leave Germany. I mean, Germany would let you out, there was no question. Mm-hmm. And Holland would let you in.
With a ship ticket to
with
England?
With a ship ticket to England.
Interesting.
So we left, we went to Köln. Father, remember we stayed a few days in Köln. We went from Köln to Aachen. Aachen.
Yes.
And from Aachen, we stayed, I believe, another day or so. And then we crossed the border, I mean, by train, into Holland, and we ended up in Breda. Breda is Holland.
Yes.
Of course, we couldn't take any money out except 10 marks, I believe. And we were all searched on the border. Even as a child, I was searched. Everybody was searched, and we had some hand luggage, that's all we had. And we went into to Breda. Now, it was known for some reason that if you smuggled yourself from Breda, I mean, we had no chance of getting to England, they had no papers. You smuggled yourself illegally across the border into Belgium. Belgium did not deport anybody to Germany. Now, we could not stay in Holland.
You couldn't?
No, Holland did not absorb anybody. I mean,
that was because of the government restriction.
Yeah. But
so
Belgium, so
Belgium.
We ended up in Breda, we spent one night in Breda. Then, I don't know, my father must have made some arrangements with the Jewish committee or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we traveled to the border with Holland, with Belgium to Holland.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it was by car. We got out of the car,
mm-hmm.
and there was a group of people, and we crossed the border on foot.
Mm.
From Holland into Belgium. And soon we were on the other side of the border, that same car picked us up again,
mm-hmm.
and took us to Antwerp.
And
we
weren't searched on the Belgian side?
Well, no, we're illegal. We were illegal immigrants.
You were illegal immigrants?
Yeah, well, we crossed the border illegally.
But there were no guards?
There was no guards, I don't...
That you could...
Yeah, we even heard a patrol further away, that some soldiers marching, but we just, I mean, there were official smugglers, and official, I mean, there were paid smugglers who smuggled people from Holland.
Were you frightened during that time, do you remember?
No, I don't remember that.
You had your parents?
Yeah, we had your parents, and it was not really such a
big thing. That's so risky.
Yeah. Nobody was shot. If they would have caught it, they would have sent them back across the border. I mean,
but you knew there was no deportation.
People apparently knew
Belgium.
Back to Germany.
Back to Germany.
Now, you could not go directly from Germany into Belgium, but you could get around the other way.
You had to be wise to all that.
Well, I mean, and so we ended up in Antwerp.
Mm-hmm.
And once you got to Antwerp, the Jewish committee or the... would help the people there.
Were there many other Jews?
Refugee
from,
Jews, yeah.
Who were refugees?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you could then you could go to the police in Belgium and get official identification card and reside in Belgium. And they would not send anybody back, providing they did not catch you working. You were not allowed to take a job because they had high unemployment.
But the Jewish community
helped.
Provided for you? They provided you with some housing?
Well, they provided with housing the first couple of days, but they provided with money.
Money.
People rented their own apartments and the population.
You found a place to live.
Yeah. People did some art work, but not official work.
And what did Father do?
He was not able to do very much. My mother was able to do more.
What did she do?
Well, she did a lot, some domestic work for rich. There were a lot of rich Jews in Belgium. She did some baking. She was, she did some, whenever they had parties, she would go and bake cakes and stuff like that. And then she would do a lot of handiwork, like belts and stuff. And my father would sell it, would go out and peddle it light.
Embroidery.
Not yet, some sort of embroidery.
Dressmaking.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Dressmaking. Hand-drawn.
Yeah, hand-drawn. Mm-hmm.
And what happened to you?
Well, I saw, as a matter of fact, I went to a very religious school there. They had a very good Jewish day school in Antwerp. And I did not actually lose any time. I went up to the third grade in Vienna. And I picked up right away into the fourth grade.
But you had to speak a new language.
Well, we learned Dutch, which was not that... Dutch is not...
Not too hard
not
for
too
you.
Not too hard, yeah.
And that was the language of instruction in the Jewish school?
Well, half a day was Dutch and half a day was Hebrew. Mm-hmm. Because my Hebrew was not as strong as the children there either, but although I had learned some Hebrew in Vienna, but I was able to master that.
And you made some friends in school?
Yeah. There was a very active Jewish community. Mm-hmm. They were very helpful to the Jews.
Helpful.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I always recall There were women would work in the kitchen, the soup kitchen. They had maids at home would come and work in the soup kitchen for the refugees.
Our interview with Mr. Herbert Finder. You were saying that the maids of some of the wealthy Jewish families came and...
No, the women came.
The women themselves.
The women themselves came who had maids at home.
Yeah.
They would help them.
Mm-hmm.
But most refugees within a very short time had their own apartment and were able to live somehow and manage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And did you hear from your grandmother in Berlin during this time? Do you know?
I don't really recall whether we did or not.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, later we had a visit from my mother's brother who left for America to Antwerp. And as a matter of fact, he spent a couple of days with us in Antwerp before he came to America.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were in Antwerp, we applied for visas to come to the United States too. And we actually did receive visas in April 1940, after we were already in Antwerp for 2 years.
For America?
Yeah, we had our visas, but we didn't have any money for the tickets because we were refugees.
Your parents couldn't save enough?
No, couldn't save anything.
Couldn't save anything.
And the way it was done in Antwerp, the highest would give people tickets, pay for the tickets to come to America. But visas for America were good for a period of 4 months. And due that we received our visas in April 1940, we were like on the list to come to America maybe around July of 1940. But in the meantime, May 10th, 1940, Hitler invaded Belgium, Holland, and France. So that's why we got caught up in that dilemma.
You were saying that you learned Dutch.
Yeah.
Was that a language of instruction in the Belgian schools?
Well, Belgium actually is divided in two halves.
Mm-hmm.
The Flemish section
mm-hmm.
and the French section. Now, Antwerp is part of the Flemish section.
Mm-hmm.
It's the northern part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Their official language is Dutch.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And the southern part of the country, the official language is French.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, most people speak both languages there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you stayed in the school for several years?
2 years.
Until
2 years. I went there fourth grade and the fifth grade until May 10th, 1940.
Now, Do you remember any discussions either with your playmates or with your parents about what was happening to Jews in Germany or elsewhere? Or do you think your parents knew?
Well, I believe they knew. I mean, by the time I was getting 10th and 11th year old, the only thing that I remember which was very misleading to many Jews, the Jews in Belgium would always say, well, what happened in Poland and what happened in Germany will never happen here and can never happen. And that's, and they had such a lull in them that I don't think any Jews from those countries really made an effort to leave Belgium or felt a threat to themselves due to what happening in Germany or Poland.
Also, I'm wondering, I know in America there was this myth about the invulnerability of the Maginot Line. Of course, that wouldn't have protected Belgium.
No, because that's one of the reasons why Hitler invaded the Low Countries.
Yeah.
Because the Maginot Line stopped.
So you didn't feel any protection from that. Mm-hmm. And you didn't obviously expect an invasion from
as a child, I don't remember.
But I think that's true also for Dutch.
Yeah, as a child, I don't remember that. But that, I only remember that always that saying by the Jews living there. Now, most Jews in Belgium were Polish Jews, that I remember.
Uh-huh.
Because in Belgium, unlike other countries, you never really became a Belgian citizen.
Oh, I see.
Because the Jews could have, many Jews lived in Belgium, Polish Jews for 20 years, and even their children, and they never became citizens.
Was it because they didn't want to or they couldn't?
I believe they probably could not.
They couldn't.
And
my understanding is that about half the Jewish population was foreign, mostly Polish, and the other half Belgian-born. But your impression was that most Jews...
Well, it's hard for me, I mean,
but
the impressions I have. But I all remember is that the difference was you had different ID cards. They had different ID cards and they were allowed to work and have businesses, but they still were not citizens of Belgium. Now, maybe there probably were some, the most Jews that I remember meeting were Jews that really came from Poland. Although we had friends, they came from Harlem. There were Jews who came from Holland and lived in Belgium.
Who emigrated?
In the diamond business.
Oh, who just emigrated.
Yeah, emigrated. But I mean, nothing to do with the Hitler, but they emigrated before.
Not out of any urgency.
It must have been economic reason or why, but they lived in.
Now, Mr. Finder, did conditions for your father improve within those 2 years so that he could earn a living a little more easily, or was work still barred?
Work was always barred. I mean, official work was
official. So then he and mother just had to improvise whatever they could.
Yeah, they improvised, and of course, everything was based on temporary because with the hope of leaving for the United States, and they had the visa applied and all that. So.
Now, what happened to your family at the time of the invasion? You must remember.
Well, at the time of the invasion, I remember this thing. The Jews that were German citizens or Austrian citizens had to report, and they were all arrested because the Belgian government was afraid that there was some fifth column among them. So my father, of course, being that he had a German passport, because when Austria was, after the Anschluss, I believe from the Austrian passport, he got a German passport.
Well, it became part of the greater life, the greater German life.
So therefore he was arrested, and he was sent immediately to France, to southern France. All German. He was classified, as far as Belgium was concerned, he was classified as German. And he was sent to southern France.
And he was sent by the Belgians?
Yeah.
To work in work battalion?
No, it was not a question of work
battalion.
It was a question of removing all German citizens not German. He was then really not classified as Jew, but Jew, but German. And to remove him from the front, to remove him any contact with him, he ended up way, way in southern France in a camp near the Pyrenees. Now, I don't remember the name of the camp.
But by himself?
Yeah, by him. All men.
All men.
All men who were German. Now, the refugees that were, who came from Germany, like my uncle, my father's brother was with us, and he was stateless. He was never an Austrian citizen. He was what they call stateless. He was not interned.
He was not?
No.
He was allowed to remain in Belgium.
Well, we all left. In other words...
When your father left?
Well, after my father was left, 2-3 days later, before even the German occupied Antwerp, we fled. My mother, with me and my uncle, my father, we fled together. And we ended also up in southern France within a few days.
I see.
We were never under German occupation in Belgium. We fled to southern France.
So this would have been about May 8th or so?
No, May 10th was the... this was like May 14th, 15th.
Oh, after the invasion.
Yeah, after the invasion, but before the German troops reached Antwerp.
I see. Did you know where your father was?
No, we had no idea.
And what made you go to southern France?
Well, we just fled the German advance.
But why not an effort to get to Paris? Was there something in the southern part that...
Well, as the Germans, we were fleeing gradually towards northern France. From Belgium, we crossed into France. But then they just gathered those refugees and put them on trains and just shipped them south. The French
did that.
Shipped all the refugees south.
I see.
And we ended up in a small village near Toulouse.
You remember the name of it?
Not where we ended up first, no.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And there all the refugees were distributed among the farmers. Each farmer had to take in some. Not just Jewish refugees. All refugees were like distributed among them.
You were mixed then?
Yeah.
The Jewish and non-Jewish refugees?
Yeah, among the farmers in that area.
And who did that diversion?
It was
the French.
The French government. That was all before the
occupation.
Yeah, before even Hitler reached Paris. We're talking about a very early period.
Is it possible that this was a French resistance movement, or do you think it was official government?
No, this was before. This was while the war was actually still, while the fighting was still going on.
Yes,
it was
so
just
we're not
to have. No, it was just a question of something. To accommodate the refugees, what to do with refugees that came from Belgium and
Northern France. And what happened to you and mother?
Well,
you went into the home
we were
of
there,
a farmer.
Yeah, we were there a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was announced that all refugees that were stateless, all the men that were even like stateless, were interned in camps. And that's when my uncle, who was with us, my father's younger brother, he was then interned in the camp. He ended up in the same camp as my father later.
Oh, my.
And
just a coincidence.
Yeah, well, I guess this maybe was the only camp as far as I remember.
And
my mother decided she did not want to stay there, and she went to Toulouse. She ended up in Toulouse.
Were you hearing from father?
No, at that time we didn't even know anything yet.
So you and mother went to Toulouse?
Yeah, this was maybe, we were only on the farm for very few days.
I see. Were you treated fairly well?
Oh, yeah.
French?
Yeah. Of course, it was a language barrier. We didn't speak French and they didn't speak anything else, but she didn't like it and she thought it would be better if we ended up in Toulouse.
Did you know anyone in Toulouse? Did she know anyone who took
the Jewish committee started to take care of the...
There were other refugees.
Oh yeah, there were a lot of refugees ending up in Toulouse. And And then it was very hard for her to take care of me. I mean, I remember yet we lived in a hotel room with four other women, you know, but also the husbands were in camps. And we got to know this this French Jewish farmer. He was actually not French. He came originally from Russia. And he had emigrated from Russia to Palestine in the 20s. And he contracted there malaria. And after he had malaria, he could not stay in Palestine. And he married also a woman who was from Odessa, Jewish woman. And they came then from Palestine to southern France in the very early 30s, and they established a farm 25 kilometers from Toulouse. And they took refugees to their farm, part to work, part to take care of them. They had no children, they're very benevolent people, very. And they took me as the day, and I was 11 years at the time, and
Mother stayed in Toulouse?
My mother stayed because she wanted to find out what happened to my father and be more in contact. And that was already in May 1940 that I went to live with these Russian Jewish farmers in France, in a small village in 25 kilometers from Toulouse.
Did you work on the farm?
Well, we went to school. And when the next school semester started, that was May, when the next school semester started in September, I went to school there. Mm-hmm. And during the after school hours, I helped on the farm.
What were they growing?
Well, they were growing wheat, but I, at the time, had to take more care of the cattle. Cattle and... And I was with them, and then later my mother...
Were there any other children there?
They had no children.
I was the only young person.
I was the only young person.
And how many other families were there?
Well, he took in people that would come and stay for a week, 2 weeks, and they would leave. Yeah, whoever needed a home temporarily, he would go to the city and pick up people that had no place to go, and he would bring them to...
How long did you stay there?
Well, I was actually there for 2 years.
And you went to school?
I went to school.
A village school. How were you treated there by the other children? Because you didn't know any French?
Oh, well, I learned, children learned the language rather quickly, and I learned...
Were they fairly cordial to you?
Yeah.
They were? Mm-hmm. They knew you were Jewish?
Yeah, but in the first village we lived, their name was Pijoudran, in the department of Hodlager, I think. There was actually no other Jews, and they didn't know what a Jew was. Those people really did not, there were no French Jews ever lived in those areas, except for the refugees. So for them, Jews was something that they had no concept what that actually meant.
But you didn't feel any hostility?
No. And then my father was able to leave the camp.
Did mother finally
She found out where he was, and she went to where that camp was, and she found out, and...
He was able to be released?
He was released. After the war was over, they released a lot of those people.
But we're still talking about 40, aren't we?
I mean, after the fighting between France and Germany, that's what we're talking about. That was over. So then there was no more that threat of the Germans. And I think if he had this farmer promised that he would give him employment. So they released him, and he came to live then with me on that farm with that family.
And what happened to mother?
Well, she decided she wanted to go back to Belgium if she could salvage maybe our visa because of with the American consul, because it's still American consul. We're talking before America entered.
You still had your visa to
America. We still had our visa, which was still valid for several months. So she went back to Belgium, and a little bit later, and then we never We still heard from her, but we never saw her again. You know, she got caught up there, and we were in Southern France, and she was in Antwerp.
She was in Antwerp.
Mm-hmm.
So the last you heard of, well, you said you heard.
We heard to her because I had a cousin who lived in Switzerland. We could not correspond from Belgium, from Antwerp to France, although it was all, because we were not in the occupied zone yet.
Vichy
France. There was still Vichy France at the time. But she could write to
Switzerland,
and my cousin would forward that mail to us to...
So you heard from her in early... Still in early
41? Oh, yeah. We know exactly when she was deported. She was deported in almost in September 1942.
Oh, and you heard from her?
And up until about that time.
How did she manage? Was she able to find work?
I have very little recollection of what really happened to her while she was in Antwerp. We got only very sporadic postcards, and they couldn't write with. It was all censored, and she really couldn't write to them. We knew she was alive, and...
But you don't know any details. And so you and father stayed on the farm?
Yeah. We stayed on the farm until late August 1942.
August 1942. And did father work on the farm?
Yeah, he worked
on
the farm.
So he was able to support you.
Yeah, he worked on the farm, and for what he worked, he got room and board and a little money.
And you were still in school.
I was still in school.
And by now you're, what, 12?
13. 1940. And I helped a little bit. I earned a little money. It was fine. Children were allowed to travel, whereas adults had restrictions, if you know they're not French. So we were on a farm, and in the city already, like in Toulouse, food was scarce. So they would send the children to the city with eggs and chicken.
And you sold those things.
I mean, we knew where to go. I mean, like 11, 12-year-old children, it was only like an hour of ride by bus. We would go into the city and then bring money back.
For the farmer?
For the farmer.
For the farmer, I guess you got a war. Tip or something like that. Was there any entertainment for you? Any swimming?
No, we lived in a very, very tiny village.
Small village.
Maybe 100, 200 inhabitants.
Mm-hmm.
There were some other Jewish refugees there, but it was a very, very, very tiny.
Do you remember reading or father reading any newspapers there? And he was restricted, he couldn't leave.
No, you needed travel papers already to leave, to even go from into the city or anything. That's why they sent children to do certain things, because children were not examined.
Now, we know that as of October 1940, there were already anti-Jewish laws passed by Vichy. Do you remember if you or father were affected by those?
No.
Since you were able to, your father was able to continue working.
Well, he worked on the for the Jewish farmer.
Yeah.
So I mean,
and you weren't, you didn't feel anything at school particularly.
No, it was such a small school that one classroom took care of 6 grades. From the first grade to the sixth, that just gives you a picture of the size of the town we lived in.
Did I hear a click?
No,
it's still going.
It was very, very tiny, in other words.
But I suppose you were getting the same instruction that the children elsewhere in France were getting.
Have
a very centralized school.
Yeah, it was very centralized. Yeah. But I mean, one teacher took care of 6 classes.
And that continued then until August 42.
August 42.
And then what happened?
But in August 42, now, of course, I don't know how much my father knew. I can't judge it. I just didn't know. One night, there was knocking on our door. We lived in an isolated, small farmhouse. So my father worked on the main farm. We did not live on this main farm. And my father must have had some inkling because he did not open the door, so apparently he knew something. And he told me to stay. And he fled through the back. And he, you see, we had two, the farmer had two farms, and they went two different around this mine. In not France is divided into
neighborhoods.
No, not neighborhoods, like states here.
Regions.
Yeah,
regions.
And where we were only like maybe 2 kilometers from the next region. Mm-hmm. So the people that came after us was the local gendarme. This was not, there were no Germans yet in that.
Local Vichy
police. And so he did not open the door and they left. I don't know if they knew, weren't sure where anybody lived there or not.
Oh, you didn't open the door?
No.
Uh-huh. And no one came in?
Nobody came in, and he went out through the back and went and fled into the, apparently they were already, he must have been aware of what was going on. But he left me behind, I guess, thinking that they would not bother a child. And then they came back in the morning, and he was not there anymore, but they got me.
They took you?
They took me back to the village. We lived like a couple of kilometers outside the village.
Did they manhandle you?
No.
What did they say they wanted?
They just want me to come along. And as a matter of fact, they, like the farmer we lived with, he was in France longer. They didn't arrest him. They only arrested the recent refugees
that
came.
Foreign.
Even Jews that had fled to southern France from northern France, like there were Jews in the village that came from Paris. Mm-hmm. They did not arrest them either. Only foreign Jews they arrested in those days. And so what they said was, if my father wasn't going to come back, they just would take me.
Did they ask if you were Jewish?
Oh, they knew.
How did they know?
I guess everybody in the village knew who was who.
Do you remember if that father ever registered? Did he wear
no.
a yellow star?
Oh, no, that didn't exist yet.
But they knew you were Jewish.
Oh, yeah, but they knew we were Jewish.
They didn't round up non-Jews.
No.
Just Jews.
They round up certain specific people. I don't know if you were registered in the what they call it, city hall, their precinct, or how they knew, but
they knew.
I mean, they knew everybody who lived there. I mean, it was such a small area that everybody
Father
knew.
Father must have had to register.
Maybe had to register. I don't know. But anyway, they said that they would not take me. That they would take me instead of him, if he wouldn't come back. Then somebody from the Jews knew where he was, because they knew he would be on the other farm, and they sent somebody after him, and he came back. And then, of course, they took both of us, plus, I think, one more Jewish family. They were also from Vienna, who lived there. As a matter of fact, he was a rabbi in Vienna.
Where did they take you?
They took us to a camp in southern France.
Cold. Bruce.
No, I don't think, it started with the V. I have to...
Vivier.
We were there a few days.
There were other Jews.
Oh yeah, that was strictly a German called a Sammellager, collection camp.
Collection camp. Yeah.
And we were there for a few days and then were sent from there by train to Drancy. So that's, now we're going back to the beginning of the deportation.
Oh, terrible times. Where did they tell you you were going? Or did anybody say where you were going when they sent you to Drancy?
I have no idea.
Were you on the train for a long time?
No, I think it only took about 1 week.
From Vivier?
Maybe. I think we left in the evening and probably got there the next morning. It's not that far.
Were you in a very crowded train?
No, they were not. They were still
passenger
cars.
And there on the train, of course, you met many other Jews.
So all Jews. The whole train was all Jews and all refugees.
All refugees.
And like that other family was with us all from the same little village.
Mm-hmm.
And they came with us. And I don't know if there was another family from the same village or not. I don't remember. But those are
Did you get some food at the VA?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there was the conditions there were not...
Not too bad.
No, they were just, I wouldn't say bad at all. I don't remember whether we there were one day or 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
But there were still no Germans there.
All French personnel.
All French personnel.
And at Drancy too?
At Drancy, I would say, was strictly
French.
Yeah. Now, that was already then in the archipelago, Drancy side outside of Paris.
Yes, outside of Paris. I think we'll stop there because it's a whole new
chapter.
Yes, and